make sure y'all were awake. You having a good time worshiping the Lord? I guess some of you are. Well, let's be sure and spread the word. We're going to be looking at quite a number of scriptures today, and a lot of them are in your bulletin, at least a shortened version of them. It's the nature of this particular sermon. I've entitled it, What You Don't Know Can Hurt You. We often hear the opposite, right? What you don't know can't hurt you, they say. Or, ignorance is bliss. But we want to see if that's true. Would you bow with me? Holy Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We pray that you would bless our efforts always to give you the glory in all that we do. Bless our efforts to understand your word and to live by it, to be an example in this world that would give light to you. Bless us toward that end. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Those sayings that I mentioned, though quite known to us, are not always true. For instance, you're breaking the speed limit, you're pulled over, and you say, what you know don't hurt you, right? Well, it does. And it gets more serious from there, doesn't it? If you hear a phone call, someone you really care about or love dies, it's going to strike your heart, isn't it? Things can hurt us, and we don't want to be ignorant of things. But the thing I especially want to talk about, today we have a continual dumbing down of knowledge in the scriptures. It's everywhere about us. It's in everything, even in the Lord's church sometimes, isn't it? We, the people that used to be known as people that knew the book, so often do not anymore. It's a problem that we have to deal with. You know, people will say things like, well, you don't really need all that knowledge. You need John 3:16, right? No, we need a lot more than that, don't we? Throughout the Bible, knowledge is stressed, wisdom is stressed, that we learn it, that we follow it. And so we want to look at some of that preponderance of evidence that teaches this today, and hopefully we'll be motivated as well, and we'll motivate those that we teach, those that we strive to teach. I'm going to start with Samuel's mother. Just be a short quote from 1 Samuel chapter 2, 3. His mother said, the Lord is a God of knowledge. And that's been true since the earliest days of God's people. In the Old Testament days, it was the God of Israel and Judah, as it later became. Today is Christianity. In both of those cases, God is a God of knowledge, isn't he? We're not to be ignorant and foolish. You know, a famous prayer by a young man named Solomon is found in 2 Chronicles. I won't look at the prayer, but something he said afterwards. He said, now give me wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours? In other words, Solomon was saying, I need knowledge. How am I going to deal with all of this? God honored his request, didn't he? God liked what he had to say. In fact, Solomon was honored more than any of the Old Testament kings, at least financially and in other ways at times in his life. A religious speaker recently said something. Well, it's been a while now, but and I know we could understand what he had to say and get something from it, but I want to look at it on its blank statement. Here's what he said. The last thing many believers need today is another Bible study. Now, let's finish what he said. They already know far more than they're putting into practice. Of course, we would agree with that, but the basic idea of what was stated, there's something wrong there, isn't there? We're supposed to continually study. We're supposed to continually grow. We're supposed to continue to gain in wisdom and knowledge. Let's look at a number of things that Solomon said, and we'll go from there. In Proverbs 10:14, he said, wise people store up knowledge. Wise people do not stop studying and stop thinking and stop trying to learn. Wise people store up knowledge. He also said in chapter 11, verse 9 of Proverbs, through knowledge the righteous will be delivered. It's knowledge that makes these things often available. God doesn't usually just jump in and solve every little problem, does he? He expects us to use our knowledge, our wisdom, our eyeballs, whatever is necessary to do the things that he made us capable of doing. Proverbs 13 and verse 16, again, Solomon said, a prudent man acts with knowledge. Do you try to do something with no knowledge? Sometimes people do that, right? Proverbs 14:7. If you hang around fools, what's going to happen to you? Well, let's listen to Solomon. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. When you're around somebody and they're obviously speaking dumb things, it's time to leave. It's time to find another friend or whatever you need to do. Proverbs 15 and verse 7, he tells of a characteristic of the wise and the fact that they encourage knowledge. Here's what he said. The lips of the wise dispense knowledge, but the heart of the fool does not do so. The wise man disperses by what he says. He dispenses it out. He gives it to others. Proverbs 15 and verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge. He doesn't avoid it, doesn't seek it, doesn't rebel against it. He seeks it. Proverbs 18 and verse 15, I'm sorry, 19 and verse 2. It is not good for a soul, that is a person, to be without knowledge. And so God gave us a pretty big book, right? How long does it take you to read through it? Well, quite a while, but you can do it. You can read through the New Testament about 20 hours, even less if you're a speed reader, far less. Proverbs 20 and verse 15, there is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are precious jewels. There may be these things in the world that we might seek in a worldly way we might think of, but God wants us to seek knowledge. Ted, why are you quoting all these things? Because, again, there is a dumbing down of our society religiously. There's a dumbing down in our churches, religiously speaking. And we need to know what God wants us to do. We need a solid Bible knowledge in order to do that. We need to critically study the Bible, not just a flippant study. Flippantly, you get all kinds of things come out of people's mouths, don't you? Outside the circle of our fellowship, I'm afraid most people's knowledge of the Bible is very shallow sometimes, even religious people. Proverbs 23 and 12, Solomon said, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Again, as always, I'm reading from the New King James. Proverbs 24 and verse 5, a wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. Not human strength, not strength of athletes, but another kind of strength, right? A strength that God is concerned about. Let's look at a few of the prophets of the Old Testament. Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ. He foresaw the effect of the waning knowledge of God's people in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 5:3, he says, therefore my people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. wouldn't listen to God. They didn't go to the temple and learn the word. They didn't have Bibles like we do. They may have had copies of some of it, but God had offered to save them. Even at the last minute, God had offered to save them from captivity, and they wouldn't listen. So off they went, the northern tribes, to disappear forever. The 10 northern tribes, it was called Israel at that time, gone forever. God offered backslidden Judah later on. Even on the eve of exile, Jeremiah 3:15, he said, "And I would give you shepherds according to my heart, who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." That is, if you'll turn around, if you'll listen to the prophets, if you'll listen to the word that I preach. But alas, they would not. And the greatest, like Daniel, though a little boy, teenager perhaps, carried off into slavery to live the rest of his life, though a leader in a great nation, as a slave. Though a leader of the world, still a slave. Hosea. He lived and preached in the waning days of the northern kingdom. They push it back to around 900. In chapter 4, verse 1, 900 B.C. "Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against it, against the inhabitants of the land. There is no truth or mercy or knowledge of God in the land." Isn't that sad? These were God's people. Could God ever say that of church people today? Perhaps. Sad, isn't it? Now, in the same context, a little later in verse 6, he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest to me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." Israel here is presented as being a priest. Israel was set forth in the midst of the world to be a priest. Not just the priest in Israel, but every one of them. The nation was designed to be a priest. What does that mean? It meant that God picked the center of the ancient world, Egypt to the south, Europe to the northwest, Babylon and Persia to the north and northeast, and right there in the center, in the place that the Romans later would want so much for the wonderful land along that area of the Mediterranean, Israel was to be a shining light, and they were not. Why, we even know of one of their preachers who hated the Ninevites, so God sent him to preach to them. Maybe he had good reasons. He was a prophet. And surely he did repent. And he did preach to them, didn't he? But lack of knowledge is what destroys people and has destroyed people at all times. In the same point, Christians are a priesthood. We are a light to the world, didn't Jesus say? Like Israel, we're supposed to be a light, where people can see this is the way you're supposed to do. This is the kind of way you're supposed to be in searching for knowledge. This is the kind of way you're supposed to be in walking in righteousness. This is the way you're supposed to be in talking to other people. On and on we could go. We're supposed to be a priesthood in this world, just like Israel was supposed to be. Hosea elevated knowledge even above worship. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, he said, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." In other words, you have to develop mercy. It's more important than your offering of lambs and doves and all the things you do in the Old Testament worship. If you don't develop the right attitudes, what good is that? And then we could say the same today, right? What good is it to go to church, sing songs about loving Jesus and loving your brethren, and not doing it? Well, good is it? Malachi, the last prophet that we have writing in the Old Testament, up until the days of Jesus at least, Malachi laid out the duty of priest in chapter 2, verse 7. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth, for he is a messenger, or a messenger of the Lord of hosts. Behind this brief statement is the requirement that God's messenger preserve knowledge and not let it slip away. I'm telling you these things because you can know the importance that God places on correct knowledge. You need to know that. We need to be reminded of it. We need to follow it always. And we don't want to be misled by false instruction, do we? Now, let's take it to the New Testament. One of the earliest we see mentioned is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist. In Luke 1:77, he speaks about Jesus, and he says that he came to give knowledge of salvation to the people by remission of sins. That's what the Messiah would do. Knowledge is important. It's been important since the beginning. In Luke 11:52, Jesus rebuked the religious lawyers. We don't think of religious lawyers, do we? But they were kind of like preachers today in the sense that they were the ones that were most knowledgeable of the Old Testament law. But they were called lawyers, at least in our translations. Jesus spoke and rebuked them. He says, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You do not enter in yourselves, and those who are entering in you hindered." There are people that do that today too, aren't they? Knowledge of God, that's the key. Jesus told the woman at the well in John 4:22 that her people, the Samaritans, worship God in ignorance. Let's read what he says. "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Salvation came through Judaism, but Christianity would spread far beyond its borders, wouldn't it? And thus we would have continuing seeking for knowledge. In Acts 6, when we get to the apostles, they're burdened. The church is growing rapidly. And there are widows and others that need to be cared for. So they call the church together and they say, "You pick 7 men full of the Spirit," so forth, "who can take care of this." In Acts 6, 3 and 4, "Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." The ministry of the word. This is so important for people. We need those other kind of ministries, yes, but we need the ministry of the word, don't we? It doesn't really matter what we believe as long as we're sincere, right? Isn't that what we hear? But is it true? Is knowledge optional? Paul said about the Jews in Romans 10, 1 and 2, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." The Jews could be saved as anyone else. They were not seeking God with the knowledge that he provided in our New Testament about Jesus. They sought it in their own way without the teachings of God. In Ephesians 4, Paul will speak again in verse 13 about our diligence. He says that we're to maintain the unity of the Spirit and give diligence till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That same apostle in Colossians chapter 1:9 would say, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Knowledge is important. Memorizing the Word of God then is important, isn't it? But memorizing is not knowledge alone. We have to seek wisdom and understand what was taught. In verse 10, he says, "That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Paul would tell Timothy in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. In 2 Timothy 3:7, Paul spoke of people who were always learning yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's sad, isn't it? That people who do study, study the wrong things. Partly because sometimes, let me give you an illustration on just one point. Some people have already made up their mind about certain issues. And everything that comes up, they point it toward that issue, like the end of the world type thing, like some of them get on to. That's all they can think about. They never gain the full knowledge, so it seems. Full knowledge is, we don't know when the end of the world will be. Nobody knows. Jesus didn't even know when he was on earth. Who do they think they are? I mean, really? Yeah, you hear this stuff all the time. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Such people, they're real thinkers in a certain way and real learners, but they major on the wrong things, the wrong stuff. Somehow they never get around to understanding the right knowledge, that which is expressed clearly for us. And those things that are necessary to heaven are not the ones that are hard to understand. Those are the deeper things of Christianity. Peter stated in 2 Peter 1:3 that God's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to glory and virtue. Knowledge, knowledge, knowledge. Everywhere, right? Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, there it is again, knowledge. Knowledge. We'll read one more. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, now and forever. Knowledge is important. Lack of knowledge can destroy us spiritually. It can destroy us in human things too, can it? If you don't know how to do something, you try to do it, it's even dangerous sometimes, right? These things all play a part. We must resist this dumbing down. How do we resist? By studying ourselves. By continually studying ourselves. By encouraging others to study for themselves. Each of us needs to take up this issue of gaining knowledge. May we ever be in pursuit of the knowledge of God. We're going to offer an invitation. Maybe we have someone who has not been baptized into Christ. If so, you could come during this invitation and receive that benefit. Or if you are subject in some other way to our invitation, won't you come as we stand and sing?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
cross I carry till I see Jesus. My cross I carry till I see Jesus. My cross I carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, I'll follow. Thank Brother Sherry for that wonderful message that he presented to us this morning. Our next selection will be number 574, and then we will have a closing prayer. Number 574 will be our last selection. I'm in that way, that bright and shining way. Oh, I'm in a glory land way, telling the world that Jesus saved today. Yes, I'm in a glory land way. Oh, I'm in a glory land way. I'm in a glory land where heaven is near and we go with clear afar. I'm in a glory land where listen to the call, the gospel call today. Get in a glory land where come home, oh, hasten to obey, for I'm in the glory land way. Ah, I'm in the glory land way, I'm in the glory land way. We know heaven is near when we go. Is clear or far, I'm in the glory land way. Onward we'll go, rejoicing in His love. I'm in the glory land way, long way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. For I'm in the glory land way.